live at AsylumFantasyFootball.com. It's the Tuesday Night Blitz.
We are Fligger and Briggs. Welcome to the Asylum. Drop us a line at AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
A Twitter feed of note at Asylum Football.
Yes, indeed. And all you locals, WSRU 88.1 FM, the voice of the Rock.
All right, Rick, week six in the book. So much happened this week. We had to bring in some help to get us through it all.
Yeah, that's true. And don't forget, in about 3 weeks, we will be moving to Thursdays, and you will be hearing us on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Follow them at the AF.
RN.
There we go.
That's the first time you got the whole way through. Did you really blank on that?
Huh?
Did you really blank on that?
No.
Or did I miss a cue?
You missed a cue.
All right. Well, that happened.
What are you going to do?
I bet they can't wait to have us at the Armed Forces.
Yeah, but please follow that. Yes, just like you mentioned, we had some help tonight. We have a special guest in, longtime friend, first time on the show. You know him on Twitter at FFMagicMan, Micah James. He's had the successful podcast, The Magic Formula, and now it's Trick Plays, and you can find him at FFMagicMan.com. Micah, welcome.
Well, thanks, gentlemen. I am very, very honored to be here with you. And appreciate the kind words. And, yeah, we've been kind of going back and forth for a long time. I'm glad our people could finally negotiate my appearance fee within your budget and get me on the show.
Yeah, it's funny. Your appearance fee fit right into our budget. It was perfect.
Yeah,
it's hard to go down from free.
We tried, believe me. So, Micah, before we hop into week six, I don't know if Rick hit it all. What all you got going on there?
Now, that's a lot of the key stuff. The Magic Formula podcast, which was pretty successful and really had a great following. Unfortunately, the podcast feed got corrupted. I did something and never could fix it. So that show kind of faded away into the woodwork. So about 3 weeks ago, started the Trick Plays Fantasy Football podcast with my co-host Dennis Esser. And we post that up late Wednesday night. It's a recap of the week that was, a preview of the week ahead, and growing that show a lot. So everybody can find that at podcast.ffmagicman.com.
Sounds good. We can kind of use this one as a springboard into yours because we're going to recap a few games this week. And I think we're going to hit on some, you know, since we're about a third of the way through the season, we decided that we might hit on some fantasy stocks that have risen and some that have fallen during the season. Of course, you're going to be able to dish out some official Asylum game balls and stinky socks. Nobody has ever done that than us.
Nor has anybody wanted to, so, to be fair.
Oh, no, that's not true. It's with the requests have poured in, but we chose you.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm pumped. I'm ready.
All right. Well, before we get into all that, Rick, let's just hit a couple headlines. I think we'll just try and go through our regular show. You guys feel free to jump in. DeMarco Murray, I know this is shocking news to everyone, went down with a knee. Jerry Jones says he's likely out for week seven, but they're optimistic about what's coming forward. Obviously, the concerns there, heading into bye weeks, Randall Tanner, anybody you're interested in, Micah, throwing into a flex this week?
Well, I think Randall maybe is a little bit interesting. I think what you're going to see, you know, that Cowboys team didn't really want to run, save that one game against St. Louis anyhow for all of the coach speak we hear. And now when you've got two guys that are kind of splitting those carries, I'm not sure either one is tremendously valuable. I think they're just going to throw more. But, you know, if you're in a pinch, if you did lose Murray, Randall's probably the guy you can put in as a flex to keep your fingers crossed.
Before we go any further, we're getting it in the chat room as well that there's a lot of echo, so I have no idea if there's – it may just be a glitch through Blog Talk. I don't know if it is. We apologize. Our technician, Mr. Fligger, is rapidly looking and feverishly pushing buttons, but I'm not sure what's going on.
Not hearing it on our end. You mind if I knock you out here, Micah, call him back real quick, see if maybe that takes care of the problem?
Yeah, go ahead, because I hear it still, too, for myself.
Okay, great. I'll just call back in. I'll hit it now. All right, Rick, let's try that. I don't hear it on our end. That's
strange. No, that,
first
I
technical
didn't
difficulty we've had in
and
a while.
And I thought maybe it just might have been something the way Micah had it coming in somehow, yeah. But we'll find out.
All right, we'll fix it while we wait for Micah to call back. Jimmy Graham had an MRI on that left foot, showed nothing major, so the team's optimistic. He won't miss any time. And then I think the big news, Randall Call, about 6 to 8 weeks with a fractured fibula. Jones looks like things look pretty good for James Jones. Doesn't look like he'll miss any time. So something to keep an eye on there, Randall Cobb owners. I think it bodes well. You saw in the game last week, it might bode well for Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think it's going to significantly hurt the offense of the Green Bay Packers. But, you know, it's a big piece gone. But I just think Jones will step up, providing that knee's okay. And that's the thing that you have to worry about. Things look okay right now, but you know how those wheels are when they start cutting and going again.
Yeah, it's easy to say Monday night. All right, we got Micah back on the line here. Does that sound any better to you, Micah?
Well, I get the echo when I talk. I'm not hearing it as much now. I guess see if the chat room gets it, and if so, I'll try back one more time a different way.
All right, we'll keep rolling with that. Well, Rick, let's jump into it. I'll let you start this show. Not much in the way of headlines. Everybody knows the injuries. We can talk about that later. You want to talk about fantasy risers, fantasy fallers this week?
I did want to hit on one of the hugest moves made during the year so far, the Pittsburgh Steelers picking up the human turnstile Levi Brown, who tore his tricep apparently in pregame warm-up and is now on IR. So it was a very nice deal went awry.
Hey, the rich keep getting richer as we talk about risers. That's our Pittsburgh Steelers here. So, Rick, here we are a third of the way into the season. A lot of surprises. I went through, checked out a lot of this afternoon. A lot of surprises for me when you look at ADPs and the way people are performing. Some huge disappointments. Not as many as the massive surprises that you get. There's not really that one guy that's sticking out above him, a la MJD several years ago, Doug Martin a couple years ago. Not a lot of those guys, but a lot of guys really disappointed. Some guys outperforming their ADP. So we'll go around the room here, and let's talk first about some guys, Rick, you think are on the rise.
Okay, I think one guy that has really, his stock has significantly risen since the beginning of the draft is Knowshon Moreno for Denver. Now, here's a guy, 373 rushing yards, 7 touchdowns. On top of that, another 20 catches for 189 yards. I mean, he's like Manning's do-all guy. He's running, he's catching, he's pass blocking, something Hillman never has really done. Hillman now has a case of the drops. He's not in there much. I mean, Moreno is the guy, and he's a must-start, I think.
Yeah, week in and week out, just keeps getting it done. And we spent a lot of time in the summertime, Micah, talking about how things were going to shake out in Denver. Monte Ball, Ronnie Hillman were the guys we talked about. Moreno, I think, a big surprise in all of this.
Yeah, he definitely is. It's kind of like, we all were in on Ball and thought maybe he would be that key guy, and he's been non-existent. And then Hillman, we thought, maybe would jump into seeing what we thought he was going to be last year. But all along, we had Knowshon Moreno, who really turned out to be the key guy. So definitely right. And we all kind of swung and missed. Unless you picked up Moreno late, you've been reaping big dividends from that.
Yeah, this is a guy you're looking 10th, 11th, 12th round sort of as a throwaway, knowing he was going to play week 1 and 2, I believe, it when you got in your late August draft. Somebody for me, Rick, who surprised me. Now, granted, this is in a standard format, not in a PPR format, but you don't know who the number one fantasy wide receiver is in standard formats. I know you don't.
In standard format, boy, that's a good question. I'll just go on a wild guess and say Eddie Royal.
Wrong. DeSean Jackson.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Putting up big yardage numbers, doing what DeSean Jackson does. Doesn't have a ton of catches, although a lot more this year. But finding the end zone, making those long plays. DeSean Jackson is a guy, even without Vic last week with Foles, put up some numbers again. This guy has so far outperformed his value. This is a guy that just fell and fell and fell, especially in a PPR format, but continues to put up numbers and right now sitting atop the fantasy rankings in a standard format.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, I mean, what can you say? He's we all know he had the talent. And just the way the Eagles offense is, I know he likes that better because there's a lot more splash and dash with him involved. And, of course, with Macklin out of there, he's certainly the feature guy. And, I mean, he's living up to the bill. I mean, albeit they're still a little inconsistent, but you know, he's leading the league in receiving. So there you have it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Micah, somebody on the rise for you, somebody's caught you a little bit by surprise.
Well, you know, I mean, sticking with the receivers, I think a guy that we had some high hopes for, given what he showed briefly last year, is Alshon Jeffrey for the Bears. And we kind of knew Trestman was going to have that offense throwing a lot. We thought B.J. Cutler would take a step forward under his tutelage. And, you know, we know how good Brandon Marshall is, but I think the fact that Alshon Jeffrey has not only been productive, but is so involved with that offense in terms of the number of targets that he's seeing, for me, he's a very big surprise. Somebody that, you know, you probably could have gotten one of your very last picks is just a what-the-heck flyer. And he's paying very big dividends so far this season.
Yeah, and it's, I think it's just a matter with him. I think we talked a lot about him last week and on Sunday, just being frustrating, the ability to put up 200 yards and then disappear, I believe, one catch for 23 grabs last year. I think as Brandon Marshall goes is how he goes. He opened things up a couple down weeks for Brandon Marshall while Jeffrey was putting up 100 and then 200 in consecutive weeks. And you see Brandon Marshall have the big week last week, sort of moving that coverage away. So I think for the Bears and in that offense, he's paid dividends. And if you're playing him in the right week, that's the problem with a guy like that, Michael. When do you pull the trigger? I guess during bye weeks, is that when you take the chance on a guy like this? I don't think he's reached an every week start kind of status quite yet.
I think he's getting close, though, and you're right. I mean, it's kind of like Denver, but a lot lighter. You know, there you've got three guys, and you kind of figure Peyton Manning's going to be able to support the trio and, you know, maybe even the quartet if you throw Orange Julius in that mix. And Cutler is not that kind of a quarterback. He's not that skilled. I don't think that offense runs in the same way. But you're going to find, I think, that Jeffrey is going to become more consistent as the season wears on, because teams are going to realize, you know, we're going to have to pick which guy beats us. Is it we're going to, you know, just kind of try and cover Marshall one-on-one, or are we going to roll coverage or double-team Marshall, which then leaves Jeffrey kind of more alone? So I think in some ways it will be a one guy or the other, but I actually envision this more kind of becoming what Atlanta was toward the end of last season, as opposed to, you know, just sort of like one guy is good, the other guy is not. I think they're going to balance each other out as the season progresses.
Yeah, I agree. I was a lot higher on Jeffrey going into this year. And through the first couple, three games, I thought, well, I'm wrong on this guy. But, no, like you said, he's working into it. And I really like what Trestman's doing with the offense. And, you know, obviously Marshall was the guy. But I think Jeffrey's working into, you know, at least like a WR3 or a flex spot.
Yeah, I think you can be pretty safe in playing him in a three role at most times. So, Rick, that's enough positivity. Let's get to somebody who has disappointed you, somebody has let you down and drawn your ire to this point.
Yes, the cloud of negativity is always something I like to focus on. And my first victim, I tell you what, I really had a lot better expectations of this guy going into this year. But Dwayne Bowe.
Yeah,
and I mean, the guy's big, he's rangy, I mean, he's got the tools. He's got four catches, that's the highest. He's done it four times this year, but that is his highest catch total in one game. His highest yards in a game is 58, and he's averaging, excuse me, he's averaging 38 yards a game. And he's got two touchdowns. And, I mean, that is not where you drafted Dwayne Bowe.
No, and, you know, it's been a frustrating thing with Dwayne Bowe ever since his rookie year, and he put himself into fantasy relevancy at that point. And you go through stretches like this, and Rick, by God, every time you put that man on your bench, he catches 7 for 140 and two touchdowns. But he's only doing it once or twice a year. And he hasn't gotten to that point. This is a guy, I think, Micah, you're looking at a guy who's probably, you've got to think about, even during bye weeks, a guy you start thinking about sitting down. Is there just better options sitting on your bench most weeks?
Yeah, I've never been a big Bowe fan at all. And then I know a lot of people were sort of enthusiastic figuring, you know, first of all, the team re-signed him. So you figured that meant that they wanted to involve him, gave him certainly a big vote of confidence. But, you know, you bring in a guy like Alex Smith, who's certainly not known for having a big arm. And, you know, Bowe is such a good downfield receiver that I just never really saw that working in the same way that other folks kind of felt optimistic about it. And, you know, you see what Alex Smith is doing and the way they're running that offense, it goes through Jamaal Charles. And that's pretty much where it begins and ends. They're 31st for fantasy points scored combined for their wide receivers. And, you know, like you said, Bo's certainly been disappointing. Donnie Avery's gotten the lion's share of the targets and the work with that big game against Philadelphia. It's just a passing game that I think you want to stay away from as best as possible. And for those folks that took Bo in the, you know, third, maybe fourth round, depending on where you took him, he's definitely been a liability.
Yeah, no question about it. And this is a team, and he's not a possession receiver. He's not that guy. It's running through Jamaal Charles. And with the success Kansas City's having and the brand of defense they're playing, that team is perfectly content to beat you 16-7 every week. They're not trying to take the lid off of it. Andy Reid isn't trying to turn it into Philadelphia and into any type of air show. So, yeah, I think a guy, you've got to have better options and certainly a guy to sit down. Rick, probably my biggest disappointment, we've seen it specifically the last 2 weeks, and I want to have this conversation because I don't know who you have behind him, if you drafted him, where you had to draft him, Rick. But Tom Brady right now is ranked 17th among fantasy quarterbacks, only 82 points, two terrible weeks in a row, finding ways to win but can't still seem to get on the same page with those young receivers. Danny Amendola can't stay on the field. A decent rapport with Edelman. Gronkowski hasn't come back yet and everything that surrounds that. This is a guy, you know, he was predicted to be down a little bit this year, and rightly so by a lot of so-called fantasy experts, but I don't think I predicted him dropping this far.
No, I agree with you there, but it's one of those things you're looking at. You got used to these numbers with Brady, and a lot of times we forget in years past some of the numbers he put up when they were actually challenging for the Super Bowl and actually winning some Super Bowls. And oh, by the way, they're 5-1 this year. They just got done beating New Orleans. Their defense has stiffened up a little bit. Where'd Ridley come from all of a sudden? Yeah. You know, he shows
doesn't
up.
Doesn't he always
again.
Do that? Always
he does that. But they're actually playing like much more of a complete team, and Gronkowski can only help this offense when he gets back. So, yeah, he's extremely disappointing, but actually I'm kind of liking what I see in New England from a football perspective.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Awkward pause there, Rick. I was digging in the internet. So, Micah, long term, do you think getting Gronkowski back and getting him healthy, do you see a boost in Tom Brady? Do you start looking around? What do you do week to week as a Tom Brady owner?
Yeah, he's another guy that, for me, I was probably more bullish on coming into the season. And the argument that a lot of people had was, well, he's Tom Brady. You know, he's done fantasy relevant seasons with very minimal talent in the past, which is true. But this is a much different situation between all of the upheaval they had at tight end with, you know, both Gronkowski and Hernandez, and then trying to incorporate rookie wide receivers into an offense that's relatively complex. Certainly losing Shane Vereen and, you know, the first week hurts as well. So I think it is surprising how far he's fallen. The thing that's kind of interesting, though, is it's not for lack of trying. I mean, if you look at pass attempts, he's second so far on the season. There just haven't been the touchdowns, and, you know, he's only thrown four interceptions. So I think they will get that turned around. And certainly if Gronkowski comes back, it's a completely different ball game. We know how much of an impact he'll have, not only just on that entire offense, but certainly on the passing game when it gets down into the red zone. So, you know, I think there's still hope if you're a Brady owner. I wouldn't cut bait right now, but you definitely are scrambling because he's really a guy you almost can't start every week, especially the last two, like you mentioned at the outset.
Yeah, but you made a good point. You know, with Gronk coming back, look, I've never been an Amendola believer. I love the guy, but he's always hurt. But if you get these two guys, Tompkins and Dobson, more and more experience, more and more chemistry building up with Brady, I tell you, they're going to be a pretty good team by the end of this year. I mean, not that they're not now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they are a good team. And I like what you hit on earlier, Rick. There was a time when, and we've talked about this before, when New England was winning Super Bowls, Tom Brady wasn't fantasy relevant. He game managed. Corey Dillon ran the ball. They played a decent brand of defense. Maybe we're going back there. So I agree. I think right now you sort of plug your nose and hope to get through and hope to get Gronkowski back, and they could break through at any time. I mean, they got the Steelers coming up in a couple of weeks. That's a good way to get healthy. but certainly something to keep an eye on here. So
hey, notice the chuckle from the crowd here.
it's a rough time. I can't even be happy after a win. That was such an ugly win on Sunday.
Hey, while we have Mike in studio, the three of us here, we have a question in the chat room. And what's our opinion on, do we think Keenan Allen and Terrence Williams are at least a flex option every week?
Boy, Keenan Allen's a guy. I don't know about Terrence Williams. I think it's going to depend a lot on what surrounds him there. It looked impressive again. Now, Keenan Allen's a guy last night, seemed to be the primary target at this point, and rightly so. So I think this is a guy certainly worth a waiver pickup. I'm not sure, Mike, where or when you start to put him in your lineup, you know, sort of where he falls in those rankings.
Yeah, a lot of it depends, I think, on what you've got on your team around a guy like that. I mean, both of them have certainly shown that, you know, they're playable. So it's not like you're taking somebody and, you know, you hope 2 or 3 weeks down the line they start to get involved. Both of these guys are very involved. Allen doing it again for the second week in a row kind of confirmed for me his value in San Diego. I think Vincent Brown is somebody that, you know, it hasn't maybe developed to where I expected him to at this point in the season. But Keenan Allen, you know, I mean, Rivers was just looking for him all the time last night, and he delivered. So I think Allen is the guy that you probably can play every week as a wide receiver 3 flex option somewhere in that neighborhood. I'd put him in, like, you know, with an Alshon Jeffrey like we talked about earlier. Terrence Williams, I think it does depend a little bit on Miles Austin. Although, you know, we saw against Washington, they were both on the field. If you want to call Austin playing or not, that might be an arguable point. And, you know, Williams was the guy that was seeing the targets and was heavily involved. So I guess I'd answer the question, yeah, they probably both are. I would be a little hesitant depending upon matchups, but I think they've both shown that they can be in there.
Yeah, I agree. I like Allen a lot better. I think that makes it unanimous. And, I mean, let's face it, with Dallas, as long as we have, you know, Miles Amendola in there, he's going to be out quite a few games.
Miles Amendola.
They're the same person.
Yeah, they really
and,
are.
Williams has a lot of upside, but not nearly as much as Allen right now.
Now, being the primary target in that offense and with what Phil Rivers is doing to this point of the season. So, Mike, as somebody who has let you down to this point of the season.
Well, I guess I'm going to go with my sort of benchmark guy that I've been riding the train from the beginning of the preseason is going to be Trent Richardson. I still hold out some hope, although I'm starting to get more and more disillusioned with what ultimately he's going to deliver. He hasn't been awful. I mean, he's still kind of a running back 2, depending upon your scoring system. And for a lot of people, they drafted him probably lower than where I did. I took him even earlier in some of the first rounds. But even if you took him as your second, you know, round running back 2 or late in the first round, he's certainly not been consistent. He's not putting up anything that resembles a high-quality running back, even though he's getting a lot of opportunities. So he's got to turn that around and hopefully start to, you know, not only become more consistent, but in that offense, they want to run so much, you would think it's just tailor-made for him to go out and produce for fantasy owners, but he definitely hasn't yet.
Yeah, no question about it. Here's a guy, you're talking top 8 in almost every draft, and I saw him go top 5. I'm sure that's sort of what you were alluding to, where you were grabbing him. And you look at this guy, look, he's got a lot working against him. I think he had a good thing there in Cleveland. He goes to Indianapolis, new scheme, new offense. I don't know if the struggle's there. But even on your basic draw play that I got to assume is the same in 32 NFL cities week in and week out, it just doesn't seem to be working. Seems a little
slow. 300 colleges and 5,000 high schools.
Yeah, that's just it. It's not a real complicated running scheme from what I can tell, and I'm far from a football coach, but I don't think they're trying to do anything crazy. So just seems a half a step slow, just hasn't really – I don't know if you wear down, if this moving around throws you into a tailspin. I don't know what happens. But he's a guy I'm getting nervous about, but the problem is he's a guy it's hard to sit on the bench. You've got to imagine he's going to get goal line carries if, unlike last night, they can get anywhere near the goal line, had touchdowns in back-to-back weeks in his first 2 weeks, and then has gone completely silent since then.
Yeah, I think so much of it seems to rely on how the game plan goes. And just like you said, he's hard to sit because you know he's going to get a lot of work. And, you know, Donald Brown is not a guy I think that really is going to set anybody's world on fire, although they're involving him a bit. So you still figure it's Trent Richardson's job and he should be able to produce. We'll just keep our fingers crossed, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Donald Brown's one of those kind of guys. He's good to give the featured guy a spell, you know, and give him a blow for a couple of plays. But he is certainly not an every down back, and he's proven that. But, yeah, I mean, Trent Richardson is just disappointing. And I don't really know if they're really going to work into that prominent RB spot with Indianapolis. And, you know, I think you're just going to take what you get with him there.
Yeah, I think for now, and I think he's going to have his big games, and you're going to have these disappointments. So, Rick, let's jump into it. This is nice. It was a big week last week, and I want to break down that as much as we can. So why don't we jump right into our game balls, our stinky socks. This will keep things moving here, and I got a lot. I got a big list on both sides. So let's keep it positive, Rick. I know that disappoints you, and you have somebody you want to curse at. But let's start out. Give a game ball, somebody you're proud of this week.
Okay, I'll give out the first game ball, even though it just pains me. But I tell you, if you listen to the Inside Slant Sunday, one of my must starts was Vincent Jackson.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tout him on my must start status. He came up with 9 grabs for 114 yards and 2 touchdowns. It was a losing effort, but I tell you what they're showing in Tampa, he came through big for them. It's just that their defense seemed to let them down. But what a nice performance.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Rick, and I think the larger story to that is what I find interesting, and I watch for this. When you got a young, inexperienced guy coming in, they tend to lean heavy one way. This could bode really well for the remainder of the season for Vincent Jackson. I don't know specifically if it was a matchup thing the way it worked out. But, Micah, when I see a young quarterback come in and lean on, be it a tight end, be it a wide receiver, that tends to continue as the season carries along.
It does. To me, there's a couple of elements, and I thought, again, kind of like you, that Vincent Jackson was primed for a very good game for several reasons. I mean, one, we know Philadelphia has a hard time stopping wide receivers, so that was kind of tailor-made. And with the way their running game has been going, try as they might, Doug Martin has certainly been disappointing. He's a guy we could have talked about a little earlier. So they almost had no other option than Jackson. Going forward, I think he's always going to be involved, and maybe he and Glennon are putting together a little bit of chemistry, but remember, Mike Williams wasn't playing on Sunday, so certainly he would have drawn some of those targets had he been on the field. And the other guy to keep in mind down there in Tampa, which nobody I don't think really has on their radar yet, but he's seeing an awful lot of targets and starting to produce, is Tim Wright, a guy from Rutgers that Coach Schiano brought in, somebody he knows really, really well. And I think he had 9 catches for 80-some-odd yards Sunday, didn't get in the end zone. But he's a guy that might be more involved than we expect, too, depending upon how that passing game goes forward. So I think you're definitely seeing their willingness to let Glennon throw, which is a good thing for all of those guys, fantasy-wise.
Before we move on, you brought up a good point. He's actually a guy I had on my fallers list I wanted to discuss. Doug Martin, Mike, here's a guy, you're talking consensus top 3, at minimum a top 4 kind of guy. Been a huge disappointment last year in standard formats as a 19th overall fantasy running back. Do you see any bounce back for this guy? Do you see any reason he's struggling so much? I'm having a hard time putting my finger on it. And here's another guy, a top 8, top 10 pick. How do you ever bench him?
Yeah, that's probably a more frustrating guy than even Richardson is for people that took him that high, because you're not getting, you know, certainly not getting touchdowns from him. He's getting tons of work, which is, that's the surprising thing to me. It's not like he's not getting the carries. They're continuing to feed him the ball. He's just not able to break any long runs. And I don't know if that offensive line is still trying to get itself together with a few injuries. I don't think he's a guy that, you know, you can probably cut bait on right now either. But if we don't see this turnaround over the next couple of weeks, you know, then I think we start to wonder if maybe last year wasn't just a one-shot deal. Remember, a lot of people kind of had the argument that most of his production was concentrated in a handful of games, and we're sort of maybe seeing that play out now.
Yeah, we wrote that. He's looking, Rick, to me dangerously like a guy I like to bring up, and I brought up this guy's name and talking about Doug Martin in the offseason. This has got Cadillac Williams written all over it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to put your finger out, like Micah says. It's almost like defenses are not allowing Doug Martin to beat them and seeing what happens with the quarterback situation. You know, Freeman certainly wasn't getting it done, and we all know that story. And now it's falling on Glennon. But, you know, if Williams gets in there and, you know, they actually can start building up some kind of rapport with Glennon, him and Jackson and Wright, as Micah mentioned. You would think something would open up, but I don't know. It's really hard to put your finger on Tampa because they are such a mess. There's a lot of turmoil. You know, Shauna, a lot of people calling for his head already. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe
what a soap opera down there.
It is. And
yeah,
it could
is crazy.
It could be just a lot of team chemistry as well and not just a one-year aberration. I mean, things may straighten out with Martin.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that, and I feel bad for a lot of Doug Martin owners. All right, Rick, I'll jump on the next game ball here. This is going to be a shared game ball. Half of it goes to me. The other half, Rick, goes to – now, this isn't the greatest fantasy performance of all time, but I'm going to take a little credit here. I said in a pinch over some certain struggling guys, I would feel comfortable when you roundly mocked me starting Chad Henne last week. Now, unfortunately, didn't find the end zone, so the numbers weren't big. But 303 yards led to that huge game by Justin Blackmon. So, Rick, a game ball to Chad Henne and a little piece of it to me.
Whatever. Micah, what do you got, buddy?
You won't even talk about it.
I hope I got one better than that. I know I'm the guest on the show, but I didn't award myself a game ball, I can tell you that.
We'll give you one next week.
Well, that's cool. I would much appreciate that. I'll tell you the first guy for me, and there were a lot of them that I think we had some amazing performances last week, but I'm going with Marshawn Lynch. That was a game that we didn't expect to be that close, and due to the fact that I believe that stadium was probably built on an Indian burial grounds and is haunted with some of the weird stuff that we've seen happen there. You know, he's a guy that comes out and runs for 77 yards, which is okay, but he puts two touchdowns on top of that and catches four balls for 78 yards, delivering in PPR and standard formats. He just had a fantastic day and really carried that team to a victory. So my game ball is going to Mr. Skittles, Mr. Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch.
And no doubt about it, there's a guy I just love. We talked about it all summer, talked about it all last season. You just talk about the picture of consistency and something that's lacked, especially amongst fantasy running backs. This guy, just write it down. He's got a baseline of double digits, and then if he gets involved in the passing game, that was what stuck out to me, those receiving yards last week. If he gets involved in the passing game, the numbers he puts up are scary.
Yeah, and like we talked in preseason, I had this hard time putting some of these other backs over him. I had him at four and some of the points of contention where he's not that involved in the passing game and so forth. But you know, you look at a guy like Ray Rice, some of these other ones that are not having huge years, Doug Martin, they're getting shut down. You just can't stop Marshawn Lynch at times. I mean, he'll pick up a first down on his own so many times. And you'd love having a running back like that on your team.
Yeah, just something you can pencil in. All right, Rick, I know that's enough positivity for you, so why don't you hand out the first smelly sock of the night?
This one here, I had this one. It was dipped in swamp water.
Oh, here.
Okay.
Swamp water.
Yeah, I stuffed it with a rotten potato.
Okay, so you did this.
Yeah, I did this. I wanted it good and stinky, okay? And then I buried it under a garage.
When you prepare these, I've always been curious because I can smell them from here.
Yeah. Well, see, these are all pre-made before the season starts to make sure that they ripen up.
All right, this is all shtick what it is. These are just his general socks that you're smelling through the microphones is what it is.
I thought it might be the dog.
Be glad you're down there in West Virginia. That's all I can tell you.
But I tell you what, this guy has been disappointing. In a game like yesterday, you would have thought that the offense would have really went through Ray Rice. 34 yards rushing, only three receptions, 15 yards, totally shut down. And Ray Rice is really starting to fall off a little bit. And Baltimore, inconsistent. And big old smelly stock to Ray Rice.
Yeah, and here's a guy, he fell a lot early in the off season, and he started to gain some momentum towards the end, towards draft weekend. You saw him start pop back up into that top 10. Here's a guy that was falling into the early second round in some of those early drafts, the sycophants like us do. But most fears with him were the Bernard Pierce fears, and that really hasn't come to fruition. This Baltimore team, Mike, it just doesn't seem very good. Flacco's looked bad, and they just don't seem to have anything as a running game. So you can't really blame it on Pierce. I'm not sure where the problem lies, but this is becoming a week-in, week-out concern with Ray Rice.
It is. I think as I look at that situation, and actually, Pierce has had more carries than Rice has so far this season. Now, obviously, Rice missing a game has a lot to do with that. But they're both underutilized, in my opinion. If you take a look at the games that Baltimore has been very competitive and or won, they focus on that running attack. Look at their game against Miami a couple of weeks ago. And I think between those two guys, they carried the ball 40 times or something between them. And last week, you had so few. I think when Pitta went out, what that offense wanted to be really changed a lot, and they haven't found their way. I think if you look at what Baltimore did after Jim Caldwell took over that offensive coordinator position last season, they really focused a lot more on the passing game, sort of de-emphasized the run, at least as a focus of attack. And now they're kind of trying to run that same passing mode, but they don't have the weapons to do it. And so you've got a team that really doesn't have an identity. You've got running backs that are underutilized, certainly puzzling to fantasy owners. I agree with you. Those stinky socks were on my list, except I was going to apply it to the whole entire Ravens running game. I was going to give it to Pierce, to the offensive coordinator, and the whole deal. So I definitely agree with you.
Yeah, and that would be well-deserved for the whole running game as well. And, yeah, we talked about this many times in the preseason. I wasn't buying into the Ravens air show from the playoffs. You know, Bolden was gone. Pitta got hurt. Just didn't see the weapons there. And Flacco is not the playmaker a guy like Aaron Rodgers or Brady or so forth is, in my opinion. And it has to go through Ray Rice in that running game. But like you said, they're underutilized, and it's not happening.
And historically, if you look back, there was numbers floating out there last year, and I can't remember what they were. But if Ray Rice had more than 20 touches in a game, that team didn't lose. And then it was the complete opposite when he was getting under 20 carries, and you saw some of those games he get 5, 6, 7 touches. And historically, they lose those games, and that trend continues. So, Rick, a big, nasty, old, smelly sock for me, Rick, has to go to. This is a guy that's starting to become sort of a disturbing trend. We thought when he got back and he got healthy, the way that offense is moving. But Jason Witten, another pedestrian week, only 3 catches for 27 yards. This guy, it was a consensus top 5 tight end for years now and just not getting it done on a week-to-week.
Yeah, I agree. He had that huge game there last week. You know, when there was the Denver Air Show, they should have won. But other than that, he's been, as you say, very pedestrian. And, I was expecting a lot more out of Jason Witten. But, actually going along with one of my sneaky socks, maybe get to him later. But, you know, is it him? Is it Romo? What is it? Des Bryant, very quiet day as well.
That was just a weird game in general.
It was very strange.
And I thought about writing Romo down, and thought about writing Des Bryant down. Obviously, Murray got hurt. You know, that reflected in his numbers. For a team that won, they didn't move the ball well. I'm worried, save for one game, though, Mike, Jason Witten has been basically invisible, which surprises me as Tony Romo's security blanket.
Yeah, you seem that relationship is maybe changing. There was a play in the game against Washington that I recall that was sort of puzzling. You know, they had Witten lined up in the backfield as a blocker. And then when the pressure didn't come, he sort of folded out like he was going to try and catch a bubble screen, and Romo was looking the other way. But it is strange because for a guy that we used to sort of be able to set our watches by, especially in PPR formats, he has been under-targeted, whether that's because they're trying to force-feed the ball to Dez so much. I don't know, but it's definitely been disappointing to what we expect from Witten kind of week in and week out.
Yeah, no question about that. Hey, before we get to your stinky sock, Michael, we got a little question in the chat room. I think it bears a little discussion. What's the crystal ball say about Jaquizz Rodgers? With Julio Jones gone, Gonzo's actually getting smothered. S-Jax is still loping around, and while we're waiting on Roddy to show up, what can we expect from Rogers?
I had a question from somebody on Twitter earlier today asking about, you know, what I thought for Steven Jackson once he gets healthy, assuming this ever happens. And my response was, you know, I think Steven Jackson will be fine when he gets back on the field, but I don't think Quiz is going away. Remember back to the beginning of last season, a lot of people sort of had Jaquizz Rodgers as a breakout sleeper type of a player, which never really materialized, partially because Michael Turner kept finding ways to score touchdowns and partially because of how they decided to run that offense. What we've seen now this season, I think, with Quiz getting the opportunity with Jackson out, he hasn't been great, but he's been far from bad. You know, he's a guy that in PPR formats has put up running back two numbers. And even when Jackson gets healthy and returns, I think with Julio out now, you're going to see Quiz still pretty involved, and that might even turn into like a timeshare as opposed to what we expected to be the S-Jax show. So I think he's a guy you still want to hang on to and keep on your radar for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. Anybody performing at an RB2 level, I think, bears holding on your roster, and it sort of becomes a week-to-week situation. So, Mike, I know you've been chomping at the bit for a long time to give one of these smelly socks out. So what do you got?
Yeah, and, you know, this sock is actually it's sort of hand-knit wool, and the reason is because it has to have several pockets to hold the smelling salts. This sock is stinky, but it's stinky of ammonia, and I'm giving it to Danny Amendola, so I hope he wakes the heck up after getting clocked. You know, we talk about it all the time, how brittle he is, and they held him back the previous game. I'm thinking, okay, this is a tailor-made matchup. He's going to be healthy. He's not on a snap count, and he came out and had four targets, caught two of them for a total of 0 yards, and then they decided to give him a handoff, and he gets his clock cleaned and is never heard from the rest of the game. So, Danny Amendola, this smelling salt stinky sock goes out to you, my friend.
The first stinky sock that does some good. You see, that's the difference between Micah and us two cretins here. This sock used this opportunity for good, and I appreciate it. Rick, I have been remiss. Thank you for pointing it out. Our friend Jersey is on the line, has been holding for 33 minutes. I haven't been looking at our call screener here, so I apologize. Jersey, how's it going tonight?
Hey, guys. I thought you forgot about me. A couple quick questions here. You know, I always appreciate your voice. I lost DeMarco Murray. Which we knew was going to happen. I got Peterson, but my other backups are Jacquin Bell and Tate. Now, down the road, Tate could be trade bait, not for me, but, you know, they trade him because I think he's a free agent at the end of the year, so somebody may pick him up, you know, but whatever. But here's my situation. I got Finley, who I'll probably keep because now with Cobb, now Finley will play probably more part in there. I have Heath Miller and I have Clay. Well, so I have to keep at least two tight ends on my roster. I only start one. So if I were to pick up, like, maybe Joe Randall, if I can get him, or because I'm picking up 8th out of 12, or Brandon Jacobs. But Brandon Jacobs, I don't know if Peyton Hillis got signed, and his hamstring's a little banged up. So going forward, who do you like? Do you like Randall? Do you like Jacobs? It's a PPR league, 10-point rushing touchdown, point for every 10-yard rushing, hit 100 yards, get another 5 bonus points there. And then which tight end would I drop? Because I don't think I want to drop Jacquin Bell or Tate because they're plug and plays if those guys ahead of them get hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to hold on to Jacquin, Jersey.
Huh?
I said you got to hold on to Jacquin for sure. I mean, I'll jump in and just answer. For me, I would drop Clay. I think you're better off with Miller long term there.
Okay.
I'm not crazy about Randall as a pickup. In a PPR league, is Chris Abanaya from Cleveland Browns still out on your waiver wire? Because if he is, he's a guy I would go out and try and get.
Yeah, he's available. And Joe Randall, you know, Dallas' backup, and Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah, Jacobs is an interesting guy, too. I don't think you're going to see that performance you saw last week, Rick, all the time. He's a guy, though, he looks like he's going to be fed the ball. There's really not another game in town, looking like Wilson out at least another two more weeks, if not for the year, depending on if they elect for surgery. It looks looking like they're not going to now. I like Obanai in a PPR. It comes down to him and Jacobs for me. I agree, Rick. I agree with Micah dropping Clay there. I know how you feel about Heath Miller. I love him, and as the season goes on and he gets healthier. So I guess it comes down, we've added Obanai to the mix. I'm not crazy about any of those Dallas backups, so Obanai or Jacobs for you.
Yeah, Jacob scares me to death. He's a very hard runner, but his track records, he's banged up an awful lot, and I would not want to trust him. Yeah, I like Obanai. I think he's the better pickup of just about all of them.
Well, and you've got to remember, Andre Brown's going to be back in a few weeks, too, which really is going to, I think, take Jacob's value down even another notch, assuming he makes it that far. So
yeah, he'll be back week 11, yeah. They may have signed Peyton Hillis. So, I mean, DeMarco could be back week 8, but we don't know. You know, Tate could get traded. You know, talking trade talks, Tate could be traded maybe because the way Houston is. You know, they want to get something for him because he'll be a free agent after the year. And I see him moving on, so they might want to trade him to somebody. So, like I said, I'm keeping my running backs, I think, are smart. But, and dropping, like you said, Clay, so I was thinking too. But I'm thinking, do I plug and play, you know, Joseph Randall this week against Philly defense? Or do you take a chance on Clay, who most of the time, you know, did okay this past week with Cleveland, but usually they use what's his name, McGahee there. You know what I mean?
Well, oh,
take
a look at how many targets Obanai is seeing. I think he's still going to be pretty involved, and you know, with McGahee's track record, he's a guy that could break down as the season wears on too. So,
okay, yeah, I got you. And then Junior's thing was, should he, since he's got Denarius Moore on the bye, should he drop, should he try to get that Keenan Allen guy and drop, he's got somebody from St. Louis, I forget the name.
Yeah, if it doesn't
matter, just get Allen.
Drop him for Allen, yes.
Okay, and then because he needs a tight end, should he get Reed? Because I'll drop Clay, but he might not be able to get Clay because somebody else ahead of him could a couple days later. But Reed, the guy from Washington's on a waiver wire because he has Zach Miller from Seattle, but he's got what's it called hurting on a bye this week. He'll normally plug and play Graham. So does he go with the guy from Tampa Bay, who you guys were talking about, who Shannon had at Rutgers, or does he go against that Reed, who Griffin seems to like? And this is a PPR league, you know, same like I'm in. He's 5-1. I'm 5-1. We're two different divisions.
Tell you what, Mike, I don't know what you think. Reed impressed me last week. It was the first time I got to sit down and watch the better part of a Redskins game. Seems to be a big part of that offense. Looks like Cooley did. Looks like Fred Davis did in a short burst. I think Reed's an interesting guy. I don't know how he stacks up with the kid in Tampa Bay. I don't know how you feel about that, but both guys are interesting to me.
Yeah, Reed, I think, is certainly the better player and the better offense. So if you could pick up Jordan Reed, that's, I think, the way you want to go, because we're not 100% sure you're going to get Graham back after the bye either. We'll have to wait and see. Hopefully so.
Yeah.
But Reed can be a guy that can fill in that gap for you for sure.
Hey, guys, I appreciate it, man. Yeah, thanks for answering the questions. I appreciate it. It was worth the wait. Best of luck to you guys this week, and thanks again. We'll talk later. Have a good day. Thanks again.
Hey, thanks, Jersey. Good to hear from you. All right, Rick, I think we're back out of game balls. We got about 15 minutes left here. I hand out a game ball.
I tell you what, there are some big performances. You know, I hate to give it the obvious one. You know what? I'm going to give it to I'm going to have to. Vernon Davis.
Yeah.
How can I just not? 8 catches, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns. A big game ball. And, I mean, what more can you say?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
This is a guy, why can't he do this every week? You talk about a matchup nightmare. I've said it before on this show, probably the greatest athlete I've seen in a long time coming out of Maryland, watching him there. The kid, it's just amazing the athlete he is and why he disappears for stretches. And this is why you got to start him every week for this week, but hasn't always been that guy, Micah.
Yeah, he's maddening. You know, he's sort of like Jared Cook, but he at least delivers on occasion, where Cook, we only see it once in a year. And Davis, you know, he's one of, I forget the stat exactly, but he's had back-to-back weeks now with a 60-plus yard touchdown catch, and something that hasn't happened in a very long time. I think 3 in a row goes back to the 50s. So he's got a chance to do something special here this week. And, if there's a guy that's deserving of a game ball, it's got to be Vernon Davis for that performance.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, Rick, I stretched a little bit for mine. I just have to bring up the name. We spent so much time clubbing them on this show. I'm sure we ain't the only cats that do this. But this week, Rick, Ryan Matthews, 22 carries, 102 yards, finally comes through as he's sitting on most of my benches this week, of course, because that's how that works. Here's what I find frustrating, getting to sit down and watch an entire Chargers game with nothing else on a Monday night. When you watch this kid play, boy, does he look like he should be what we thought he was going to be coming out of college. He hits the hole hard. He's got a good first move. I don't know what the problem is in a week-to-week, so I don't think this shows us too much in the future. I think he's still Ryan Matthews, and he will remember soon enough that he is Ryan Matthews. But when he finally busts through, when he finally has a big week, I think we got to give him some props, and I'm going to send a game ball his way.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great game, and I'm glad that he's realized that he's not Tomlinson, but and only Ryan Matthews. But I think that's what you get with him. He looks like he has all the tools, like you said, but it's just not there. And I don't suspect he's going to be around the rest of the season. I think he's going to get hurt again.
Probably right.
But, you know, let's give him the game ball while he deserves it.
So, Micah, game ball from you.
Well, this is a guy that a lot of people probably were thinking about benching, especially after his performance the week prior in Arizona, where he just looked lost and threw the ball to everybody except the people on his own team. But it's hard to deny what Cam Newton did this week, coming up as really either quarterback one or two, depending upon your scoring system and how Nick Foles lined up. But certainly 20 of 26, 240-some-odd yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, and then we see the old Cam Newton decide to run one in for good measure as well. So just an amazing week. It looks like he's the Cam Newton of old, or at least of the late 2012 vintage. You just kind of hope he can keep it up because, you know, every week this guy seems like he could come out and do this. Sometimes he doesn't, but the weeks he does, we got to give him the kudos.
Yeah, no question about it. Another guy's just been very frustrating all year. You know he has this in him. And at times, you said it, at times he just looks absolutely lost and you don't know what happens. But another reason you can't bench him, another reason you own him for weeks like this.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And Carolina's looking better. They got a pretty stingy defense. And, you know, hopefully this, you know, keeps things going for their offense. I mean, D'Angelo Williams been running well. They got Jonathan Stewart coming back. I don't know how that's going to play out, to be honest with you. Yeah, frustrating, you know, just elaborating a little bit. D'Angelo is awful frustrating because Tolbert gets all the goal line hops.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting back to Cam, that was a great game. And if they let that offense flow a little bit like that every game, I think he's going to be pretty good.
Your boy Brandon LaFell even had a nice week.
Yes,
Rick.
He did.
So I
he
know
did,
all these,
yeah.
All these props are driving you out of your mind. We got time. Let's go around the table here one last time with some stinky socks.
All right. Got to give it to my man, Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
It's just pitiful. It's time to sit him.
Yeah, this guy's an every week sit to me, Micah. I think I'm just completely out on Chris Johnson. He had equal running yardage to Ryan Fitzpatrick this week. That tells me that's a man that belongs on my bench for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, you look at quarterbacks matching running totals, and we had Russell Wilson matching Lynch the week before at 100-and-something yards, and then you got Chris Johnson matching Ryan Swift-Feet Fitzpatrick. So yeah. He's a guy that, you know, we had so much maybe thinking with that offensive line and a new offensive coordinator for the whole season and all of the good things we heard, and we thought, okay, maybe Chris Johnson is finally going to get back to where we want. And he's been anything but. You know, there's a handful of these running backs that we had questions. We know what they've done in the past and sort of hope we could recapture some of that past glory, but it hasn't happened. And I think, you know, until further notice and maybe his matchups get a little bit easier and we start to see that he can do it, he is a guy you got to bench because he's not doing anything for you.
Yeah, I mean, they're going against San Francisco, I believe, this week as well. He's got 327 yards for the season. No 100-yard games. He's got 11 catches for 96 yards, and one of those catches was a 49-yard basic shuttle pass for a touchdown. That's his only touchdown of the year, which means, like his other 10 catches have been 10 catches for 47 yards. He's just been basically invisible and ineffectual.
Just ineffectual. I like that. Everything
yeah.
is satisfactual.
Yeah.
So, Rick, for me, here's a guy who's getting a game ball. Just he's driving me
down,
or a stinky sock. You know what
I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, and it stinks bad. Here's a stinky game ball. How about that? This guy is maddening to me as well. It's a guy I own as a wide receiver 3 on several teams. And, boy, he's made me look like a genius half the time and made me look like a buffoon, which is probably more who I am half the time. But Torrey Smith, after coming off of 2 huge weeks, 1 grab for 12 yards, this is a guy I can't stand. I'm a low-risk guy when it comes to fantasy football. And you want to talk about, Mikey, you're all-or-nothing kind of guys. Torrey Smith, just a big, nasty sock right in his face.
Yeah, smother him with it because, you know, I think the thing is he over the past couple of weeks had actually gotten to be where we thought maybe a little bit more consistent. You know, last year he was definitely boom or bust. It was long passes and touchdowns and that's what you got and you were happy or you got nothing, you know, a week like this against the Packers. But over the past few weeks leading into this game, he'd actually seen a little bit more consistent targets, was running some different routes and kind of being fantasy relevant in even a low-end wide receiver 1, high-end wide receiver 2 number without scoring the touchdowns. But we definitely saw this week the Torrey Smith of old, which is just absolutely absenteeism and nothing for your fantasy team. So, yeah, he's a good sock for sure.
All right, and before we get out of here, we got time to hand out one more, and let's not use this one for good, Micah, one more smelly sock, but let's make it real malicious.
Well, you know, there's a number of guys I can choose from. We've talked about a few of the other ones that are on my list, but, you know, I think I'll probably come back to just one last real stinky sock for a guy that, you know, I kind of expected to do something in a game that you would think might get out of control, but you know, Maurice Jones-Drew, I don't think has it anymore. He falls into that Chris Johnson realm for me, where if you own him, he's almost unstartable unless you just have a flex position and no other options. He's returning single-digit points and not finding the end zone on a team that continues to look, you know, worse and worse, at least offensively. He's somebody that I'll give my last round of stinky socks to, and hopefully he can use it to maybe wake up.
Another smelling salt sock here. There we go.
No. This one is pungent. He's going to wake up, but he won't be happy about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you, another guy just frustrated. Seems healthy at this point. That was my concern going into the season. My thoughts were if he was healthy, if he looked good, if that foot injury was good, he was going to be fine. I don't know how much is him, probably a lot of him. Here's a guy who just gets so many carries, gets so much work. He's probably breaking down early in his career. And you add on to it, Rick, just an atrocious, atrocious team, save for what Justin Blackman's done since he's come back, able to, in garbage time, throw the ball a little bit. But and actually, this wasn't a bad week for MJD.
Yeah, it was good. If you happen to play him, this is about as good as you got.
Yeah, and that's right. The problem, playing from behind. So, Rick, I know there's a guy you own a lot. I mean, you've got him and Chris Johnson on teams. Which one of them guys are you going to sit down every week?
Both, I have been, unfortunately. But, you know, the only thing that may help him is the return of Justin Blackman, and if they can just at least get some resemblance of a passing game going, and teams can't afford to go 8 in a box all the time. That's about, to me, about the only way Jones-Drew is going to be able to be
right,
go into your flex spot.
All right, Rick. Well, we are slap up against it here. So thank you, Micah James, the magic man. Why don't you give a plug, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, I appreciate the invitation. It was a lot of fun, and hopefully we got the sound fixed up a little bit. It sounds better on my end, so hopefully for the audience, apologize about that. But, yeah, everybody can find basically everything I'm doing on the website, ffmagicman.com. Follow me on Twitter, at ffmagicman. And if you do like the weekly podcasts, check out the Trick Plays podcast. You can find it all over. And I think we'll actually follow your show up on the Armed Forces Radio Network as well when that kicks off. So very, very excited about that.
Fantastic. Well, thanks a lot, Micah. Let's do it again soon.
Micah, glad
Absolutely.
To have you. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. All right, Rick, fantastic guest, fit right in, right along with the theme, and I really seem to get and enjoy the stinky sock segment, as you do as well.
Well, yeah, it's great throwing them out and rubbing them in people's faces and putting rotten potatoes and everything. It's
the whole
awesome.
Deal. And used it for good, something new on the show, something you and I would never consider.
That's right.
Well, that's it, Rick. We got to get out of here on time. We have Rick is chomping at the bit. We got a fantasy hockey draft going on tonight, and Rick's been looking forward to it for weeks.
Yeah, weeks and weeks, 3 weeks into the season.
You've never met a fantasy guy in the world who hates drafting a fantasy team more than Rick.
No, I love drafting. I love planned leagues. I love them on time.
Not true.
Not 5 minutes before you get here saying, oh, by the way, we're drafting a team tonight.
Well, not we. We have each other, and I'm getting you back after you taking me over last year in our listener league. All right, Rick, we got to get out of here. Thanks to everyone who listened. We will be back Sunday, 10 a.m. on The Slant. Get your questions to us at Asylum Football on Twitter at asylumfootball@gmail.com. And keep the phone number handy. You can call in starting right at 10 o'clock at 646-478-4679. Do us a favor. Give the Armed Forces Radio Network a follow at the AFRN on Twitter. Please give them a follow. Until Sunday, we'll see you.
Take care. The sky was gold.
On the mattress one, and you hold me, and we are broken. Feel it, tell me, I wanna feel just a little. I'll feel myself heavy on the ground. I'm scared, I'm not coming down. No.